Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, happy Monday, everybody, and thank you so much for tuning in to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill. Today, I'm very excited to have psychotherapist and personality type expert Deborah Silverman on the show. She has been in practice for nearly 40 years using astrology as the basis for her counseling sessions. Her unique methodology has caught the attention of the likes of Madonna and Sting, both of whom have worked with Deborah. After their initial session, Sting asked Deborah to join him and fellow members of the Police on their reunion tour and to serve as a mediator between the notoriously quarrelsome bandmates. Deborah's approach to astrology, like her approach to psychology, is also non-traditional in that she focuses her readings on the four elements: water, air, earth, and fire. Those who are interested in learning her astrology method can study with Deborah through her online astrology academy. Her new book, The Missing Element, Inspiring Compassion for the Human Condition, which is what we're going to be talking about today, brings the spiritual and psychological essence of the four elements to the public eye. Aspire magazine named The Missing Element one of the top 10 books of the year. For further information, and we'll have Deborah tell you a little bit more about this later, you can go to Deborah Silver. astrology.com and can also find out numerous information on her online. So thank you so much, Deborah. I really appreciate you joining us on the show today.
You're so welcome.
Yeah, this is such a fantastic topic. I love this because, you know, when people are looking for a job, I feel that they are very linear in the way that they think, in the way that we approach careers. We're kind of taught that you go to school and eventually one day when you get out of school, you find a job. And I love that your approach is much more holistic and all-encompassing of looking at how are we actually designed as human beings. So why don't you tell our listeners a little bit how you got into this line of work?
Let's see, it started way back when I was young and I was the girl that everybody told all their problems to. I could have been like that little Lucy girl that had the 5 cent thing, come talk to me. For some reason they were always finding me. And then I naturally was drawn to helping people. And then I started off by simply being interested in understanding my family, which was a little eccentric. I had one of those crazy kind of, I always said that Woody Allen wouldn't have changed anybody's outfit in my family. We looked like the funny little Jewish family. And they were all dressed properly for the show. And then my friend came over. I was very young. And she sat at the table. It was during a Jewish holiday. And went around the circle and began to describe, based on just their birth date, she was a very good astrologer, each person in my family. And when she finished, I was like, "How?" Wow. My family was, I couldn't have explained them better than she did. And I was like, I want to know what you did. And then very shortly after that, she had to drive across Canada, and her dad said, if you find a friend, I'll fly them back a one-way ticket. And I said, look, I'll go with you in the car if you tell me everything you did while you were sitting at that table. And so she proceeded to teach me over a period of 3 days in the car everything she knew. And then very shortly after that, I was obsessed. And that's what happens when in the school that I have is I watch. It just happened last night. I was at dinner with a student here, and I'm in LA, and he had just taken the class, and everyone at dinner, he just wanted to go, because it's so accurate. It's so astoundingly accurate. So I then went to graduate school and got a degree in clinical psychology, but it's never left my fascination, is the distinctions of people's personalities and helping them be true to themselves, which is really what you're talking about. How do you find a career that makes you love going to work? Because you're being true to yourself. And yeah. So I just learned that from being around this first astrologer and then being obsessed.
I couldn't agree with you more. I love this component of it, and I attribute much of my success as a recruiter to the human component of it and the fact that we are all unique snowflakes. I know it sounds, you know, cliche and silly, but each one of us has a different way of being that's going to manifest in different ways in the jobs that we choose based on numerous things. You know, I couldn't agree with you more. When my business coach started doing something similar for me, it completely changed the dynamic of my company 3 years ago for the better, and I am a huge advocate of figuring out how is that human being designed? What is in their highest and best good to be doing every day? And so I love exactly. that when you and I started talking about this, you know, we talked about the four elements, which we're going to get into in a moment, you know, of course, water, earth, air, and fire. But what you really said that hit a chord with me was this thing called the observer. And in all the years that I've, you know, had amazing mentors and spiritual coaches and business coaches, I had never heard about this observer component. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's a it's an ancient spiritual esoteric law. If you can stand back and look at yourself from the soul's point of view or the observer's point of view, there's a level of compassion or neutrality, is another word. Like, you're just looking at yourself going, oh my God, I'm doing that thing again, versus what an idiot. And the best way I like to describe it is there's a difference between judgments and perception. So the observer just perceives, the ego judges. So the example is that the toast is burnt. The perception is just the toast is burnt. That's a simple observing, witnessing, neutral position. The judgment is, you idiot, you burnt the toast again. And that's when the judgments begin. So I am teaching people as an astrologer to say, look, you are messy, or look, you are super neat, or look, you do talk too much, or no, you. But the observing of it with just a simple witness takes away all the stigma of, oh God, I can't stand that part of myself. And because once you go into the judgment door, it's like a slippery slope. You just fall in, and then you can't get your footing, and the next thing you know, you feel bad about yourself. We all know that song.
Yeah, and it's dangerous, because then we make ourselves as human beings wrong, or other people wrong. If the person in the office does something this way, or if we do something, we're a bad person and we're going to burn in hell for not doing our job perfectly or screwing up. I just had a client yell at me right before I got on the air, and she said, you didn't listen to me. And so thank God I've done some developmental work, because I could come in here and be like, Deborah, I can't do this show. I just got yelled at by my favorite client. And I'm like, oh, okay. She had a really valid point from an observer standpoint. There was something that I didn't listen to that she said she needed, and now I have an opportunity to reconcile that, which I think
is so cool.
What you're talking about, you know, just observe it and not make it a right or wrong thing.
Exactly. That's such a great example. So you get feedback, and if you're allergic to telling yourself kind things, like, you know, if you don't have that automatic response to say, oh, okay, yes, we're having a bump, my observer's on, there's truth to what you said, or there's not truth, but I don't have to react. And that is essentially in my book. The whole of my life's work, really, is establishing that muscle that neutralizes the drama. Because it's all of us are guilty of not listening, and all of us are guilty of judging ourselves, but it becomes endearing and almost cute when you look at your personality. You go, oh my God, I can't even believe I keep doing that again and again. Like, I can't stop, whatever, fill in the blank. And then there's compassion.
Yeah, and just being kind to yourself and going, like, you know, instead of being reactive, which I think is the important thing you just said, is to respond rather than react. If you can actually pause and go, wow, is that valid? Is it not valid? And it's only, I think, by being in the observer model, like you just said, that you're able to have that self-awareness rather than just jump into reaction. The sky is falling. This is awful. I'm going to, you know, lose this client or lose this job of my dreams or be fired or whatever it is. It's like you said, actually, that's a very, I just got something as I was speaking, and out of what you said, is if somebody is in a career situation, and we've all had this happen where your boss calls you into the office and says, you know, we need to talk, Deborah or Jennifer, and then you go into, oh my God, I'm going to be fired. Instead, you could go, oh, I wonder what this person has to say. Oh, I wonder, you know, what I could learn from this, and just observe it rather than react to it, right?
But that's a very high level, because the human condition, and particularly the fact that we're all made out of water, is water, which is tears, and is reactive and always moving, and it gets big waves and small waves. It's very, very theoretical to tell someone not to react. But there is this practice that I teach people, which is, how do you turn the observer on, especially in the middle of a fight, or, you know, when someone's yelling at you, like the story you just said, like, oh my God, if you can imagine right now in our political situation, if we could just witness that we are in a crisis without reacting, how much amazing difference there would be.
Yeah, that's great. So can you tell our listeners a little bit? I'm sure I know you offer great programs, and we'll definitely talk to our listeners about that. Are there any tips that you could give our listeners in this moment to be able to turn their observer on when they need to?
Well, you can do it right now. So if you just imagine you turn the camera on. So pretend right now that you can see yourself sitting in front of your computer, or on the radio, wherever you are listening to this, you're in the car, wherever you are. So just right now, see what you're wearing. just distance yourself and put a camera on right in front of you and look at your face and look at what you're wearing. Then put the camera behind you and see the back of your head and what you're wearing. And then put the camera to the side. So your imaginary distant observer is a practice. And it's really good to put the observer on when you're neutral. It's really hard to put the observer on when you're in the middle of a reaction.
That makes a lot of sense. I love that. You know, it's so funny is you saying that, Deborah, I can totally visually see that. And in that moment, I see how it takes myself out of that immediacy, flight or flight. And especially when you're a neutral place, it seems very easy and effortless just to kind of flow into that. But I could see where it would take a little bit more energy when you're in the midst of an upset or a fire.
I remember when I first learned it, such a funny memory. I was working in an office and I'd rented it, and the landlord came in and was pissed off for some unknown reason and started getting really mad at me. And all of a sudden, I remember the first time my observer came on and I could see the two of us talking and I could see how agitated he was. And I let myself just neutralize, like, oh, we're having a fight. Rather than, because you can't get out of, when you're out of control and you're in the urgency or the allergic reaction phase, you don't have the free will to go, you know what, can we just calm this down? And as soon as your awareness is on, as soon as the observer is another word for the awareness or the soul or the consciousness, the game of life becomes a much freer game. You have choice. But when free will is out of, you're out of the free will zone and you're operating with impulses, and it always, for some reason, our impulses always default to
right.
Poor me, stupid you, I don't like you, you don't like me, I'm pissed off. You just automatically go to the, you know, sixth grade playground where we're acting like idiots.
Yeah, you're so right. And it ties in. I remember years ago, I did a workshop that helped give me a lot of clarity about this observer kind of behavior, is that they talked about how the closer you are to somebody, like say Deborah and I just met, we're going to be able to have a very frank, direct, high level, high consciousness observer conversation with one another because there's no history there. However, on the occasions where you have a lover, a best friend, a family member who you've known for 20 years, the interesting thing they said is that when you are in that relationship with somebody for more than, say, a couple minutes or a couple of years, it becomes a younger and more reactive conversation because you're just kind of, your childhood stuff just really becomes reactive. You would probably know more about that than I would, not having the background in clinical psychology like you do. But it's interesting to get that, is that when you're people with you love or you care about, you're going to have a little bit more of a intense, sometimes reactionary experience where it might be a little bit more challenging to implement the observer technique in those relationships rather than your more cursory relationships. Would you agree with that?
Well, you know, it's think about when people get turned, like they're driving their car and someone cuts them off, and how they give them the finger and they go immediately into like, woof. So it doesn't, it's sometimes that bark, that impulsive reaction is even generalized to the universal people. But the truth is, yes, the person that pushes your buttons the most, you're in relationship with. You usually sleep next to them or they're the kid in the other room waiting for you. So the biggest, deepest triggers are those that are closest to us. And if you can get your partner interested, this is what my book, it's been so fun. Couples read the book together and they figure out what their reaction patterns are. And then they can say to the other one, you're doing that air thing again. You can't stop talking. Or, gee, you just did water and look, you just pulled away completely and you haven't said a word in 2 weeks. But when you can call it out and name it and not judge it, then there's some freedom.
I love that. So now that we're talking a little bit about the air and the water and the earth and the fire, let's talk about your book and about how you get into that. I had so much fun taking your quiz in the book, although I have a question for you, because what do you think I am? Are you good at guessing, or should I tell you what I got as far as my results?
Well, you're obviously air, but go ahead.
Spot on, yes. So I'm definitely air, but the weird thing was for me is when you're going through the quiz, there is water and I think earth were the first two that I did, and I got 4 in each of those. And then on air and fire, I got 10 in each of those. Is that abnormal to get equal parts?
Normal. Normal is a setting on the dryer, so there's no such thing as normal. So
okay.
We're going to leave that over there.
Okay.
I think what you're asking is that unique? Yes. And is there, you know, as an astrologer, do all I see is the unique variations? Yes. Is it, is there such a thing as normal? No, but there is a constitution that your personality came with. This is what I love about my work. Especially in the class, when I teach, you study your own chart. So you're trying to figure out why, because there's no right or wrong. This is the observer's position. It's simply neutral, like, oh, this is what is. So yes, you have a lot of fire and you've got a lot of air. That's obvious. So you got super excited about getting a radio show and super excited about being the talk host and super excited about turning people on. That's fire and air, as compared to super organized and wanting to go slow and wanting to be quiet and wanting to go home. You're like, no. Where's the fun factor? That's fire and air. So there's no right or wrong, but yes, it's obvious to me just hearing your voice that you've got lots of air, that you're an exceptional communicator and you love to turn people on to the radio. On the radio. If you want to turn them on, you want to get people excited. It's clear.
Got it. Interesting. And so I can imagine then that depending on what predominant elements you are, whether it's water, earth, air, or fire, there might be careers or directions that you might want to consider taking your life path depending on what your chart looks like or which elements resonate most with you. Can you talk to our listeners a little bit about that?
Can you imagine if we told you you're going to go be a, you know, something where it's really quiet and you're going to go be a scientist, you're not going to talk to anyone, that would be like a nightmare for you. Like,
hey,
you need someone to play with. You need someone to play with. So yes, of course, there's careers that naturally fit each of the elements. And it's, and by the way, you are instinctively being drawn to your career. It's not like this is, I always tell people, you're doing much better than you think you're doing, but you have expectations that you should be doing something different. And the big clue is if you hate going to work, or you're really feeling like you're depressed, which to me is the word depressed, is to push energy down, then you're pushing down some part of yourself that's not showing up. So, you know, according to what your personality is there ways to make your energy come forward? And that's one of the best parts about when we teach this class. My class is only open twice a year, in February and then again in September. But when I watch, it's so much fun. When I watch the students suddenly being able to get excited about their life, or they lost weight, or they fall in love with their husbands, or it's the craziest thing because they're given back to themselves. So in your career, if you're frustrated and you're feeling like, or you can't make a decision, that's an air symptom, then there's ways to remedy that. And that's part of what's in my book and part of what's in the classes. You go learn, how do I not be the part of me that I don't like?
Got it. And yeah, it's funny you say, when you were joking, saying, gosh, you would make a horrible scientist. I was so proud of myself because that's the cool thing about this is that we all have little itty bits of elements. Could I be a scientist every day? Probably not. But I solved an algebra equation this weekend in an escape room, and I forgot that I had that side of my brain because I rarely ever exercise. And I'm like, oh, who knew? At one point, apparently, I did know how to do algebra or science or math. But I love it is that it's about getting the different elements in balance, so to speak. So are you an advocate of, if one of your elements is out of balance, say you're very heavy on air, fire, and perhaps earth, should you then bring water elements into balance, or is that not the point of it?
That's the whole point. You got it. That's if you didn't read the book. The whole point of the book, simple point of the book, is find the missing element. That's why the book is called The Missing Element. Find the missing element and grow it. And once you do, be prepared for miracles, because people's lives change when you figure out what the one, it's like, the way I teach it is there's four wheels in a car, and if one of the wheels is down, the car can't drive straight.
Got it.
It's kind of simple.
Okay, got it. So if you were lacking, then in your class or in the book, you're giving examples of ways to incorporate the water element in, if that's an area that perhaps is out of balance or not in line with what you're currently committed to in your life.
So there is very clear directions of how to do that, like what it would take to get somebody to support the missing element. And that's really what the book is about. There's definitely skills. So do you want me to go through them?
Yeah, I would love for you to share that with some of our listeners. I'm lucky I have the book and I had an opportunity to skim some of it, but I'm sure a lot of our listeners will run out and hopefully do your class and buy the book, but just so you can give them a little teaser of it.
So let's go through, let's just back up and first describe, because you've gotten a little taste of it with the test. So there's four personality types. Water is the people who are emotional and they're nonverbal and they like to stay home and they like to be quiet and they really love to dream and they love music and they love food and they love animals. That's one of their big clues. They have a deep connection with children and playing house and being a mom, and they cry at the commercials and they cry whenever somebody's sad, and you know, they're just super sensitive.
Okay.
I mean, that's the water personality. And if you score high in that, you tend to be a healer and a nurturer. If you score low, it means that you're emotionally cut off and you've got, you know, water turns to ice. You've got something going on that's preventing you from being able to be in the emotional space. So your observer goes, God, you do seem cut off. And, you know, maybe it's a man and his wife says to him, you know, I never feel like Valentine's Day. You don't really think about me. So that would be water is low. And then you go watch sad films and you would learn how to go do therapy and you would go learn how to meditate and you'd learn how to go in.
Okay, got it.
So if air is really strong, air is the communicator and the talker and the verbalizer, they're airheads and they're funny and they're witty and they think all the time, they read books but they don't finish them and they forget where they're going and they forget what they were just doing, but they're so cute and endearing and charming and they're so different than water. Water's like, would you stop talking? And air is like, no, I haven't even started yet.
Have you been talking to my husband, Deborah?
Exactly. That's, see what I mean? So then, so then the air person's job, if they're wanting to grow their air, I suggest that they go start journaling and start reading and start taking social, going on Facebook or going to, literally, they, I tell them, like, go on eHarmony or Match.com or do something to get out because your internal world is getting squished by your distaste in people. But if it's too big, I say the opposite. Stop talking, start listening. Ask questions, but don't just ask them to ask them. Make sure you listen to what's being said. And really be deliberate about what you do with your words, because words can be very sloppy if you're not careful. If you're an earth person, you tend to clean and you organize and you systemize and you do spreadsheets and you have cleaning supplies and they love to go to Costco and buy all the stuff and the, like the paper toweling, and they love to make their list and they get off on checking things off their list like it's the funnest thing in the world. And they like taxes. They get off on all that.
I can't even imagine.
And if you're low in earth, you're not good with money and you're not good with form and you tend to be a little messy and you tend to be a little bit unorganized and it's hard for you to figure out how to take care of money and you know you should, but you don't and you should yourself. And that's a low earth. If you're really high in earth, you're a workaholic and you're obsessed with all the practical things. And then you've got to figure out if you're low in earth, go ahead and make a list and do routine and get ritualistic so that you're not so haphazard. If you're too high on earth, relax, leave the dishes in the sink. Like, it's okay. You can have a moment of letting yourself be a little bit sloppy would be a great thing for an earth person, or, you know, just fun, because they can get so bored and boring. And then the last is fire, and these are the people that are super energized. Like, they have this incredible chi, and they're super funny, and they're loud, and they're obnoxious at worst, and they eat too much, and they drink too much, and they spend too much, and they're a little bit loud and blunt, and they stick their foot in their mouth, but they're having so much fun and they're so energetic. I feel like this is you. And then the downside is, and then the downside is they take over. They're bossy boots and they can be very opinionated, and you don't really have to wonder what they're feeling or thinking. And then the job for the fire, if you want to increase it, is you need to put loud music on and you need to dress up. You got to insert the desire to show up and show off. If you have too much fire, then you want to turn it down and let yourself be aware of when to stop. The life lesson of fire people is knowing when to stop.
Knowing when to stop.
You know, there's an art form, and if you're missing fire, you've got too much of it, you really want to pay attention to being able to say, I'm sorry, and I'm sorry I hurt your feelings, and I didn't mean to, and really learn that skill.
Yeah, it's funny you said that, because I think one of my colleagues and I had a, I was in a very fiery mode last week. There was just something going on, and I was just short with the person, and I said, you know, I just don't have the space for this right now. And I normally, again, the next day, I'm very good at saying, I apologize, that wasn't my intention, I could tell that hurt your feelings. But I did, you know how there's meaning it and there's not really meaning it? Because I think the fire in me meant it, but wasn't actually actively listening for a reply. And at the end of this discussion with one of my colleagues, I was able to say to her, I was like, there's still something there for you, isn't there? And she said, yeah. And she said, you know, there was a broken trust there. And it really gave me an opportunity to kind of, I guess it would be getting more of a water element. And so I sat down, I stopped the 500 things I was doing, and I just looked her in the eyes and I said, I'm sorry, I hurt your feelings, didn't I? And she really like just got present. And she's like, you really did. And we had one of the most profound conversations I've had with this particular colleague, because I was able to actually be present, be in her world, and move away from the fire and into the water element. And it was just such an amazing moment of human connection for me. Would that be the right analogy? Would that be from fire to water?
Exactly. Exactly right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that must happen in your life. So are you good at saying you're sorry?
I am actually. So it's funny. I do have elements of all of these. So like the dishes in the sink thing drives me nuts. So I do have the earth side of me. And then the water side, I do spend about an hour, hour and a half in meditation every day. Otherwise, my air and fire would literally take over the world. But thank God, because the mornings where I do spend, you know, a minimum of an hour to an hour and a half in prayer, meditation, and reflection, I start off my days a lot more balanced in the water element than I would otherwise.
And did you come that way?
Oh, God, no. No, I was a nightmare. For the first, I was probably 90% fire during my youth. Then I became probably 80% fire, 20% air. And then I just kept moving into different percentages. And so for the last about 10 years, I've been on a journey of just reflecting. And I've had amazing, extraordinary teachers, much like yourself, who have taught me things about myself and taught me things about the world. And just realizing, I think the biggest thing for me that made me more aware and conscious and more of an observer is getting how much you can hurt people inadvertently by being too much in one element and not in another. Because I have friends who I could be in fire or air with all the time with certain friends, and yet you could totally bowl over an air or an earth, or not an air, sorry, a water or an earth person, because that doesn't give those people a space to be self-expressed if you're the one doing all the expressing. Does that make sense? Yeah, so it's taken me, to answer your question, it's taken me about 10 plus years of self-development, transformative work, and always learning. And in fact, I would love to talk to you more about your classes and tell our listeners more about your classes, because for me, everything is about constantly learning and growing. One of my best teachers said, if you're not expanding, you're contracting. And so at any moment in my life, I'm always engaged in some form of education or another to look at, reflect, and see where I can become more balanced in all areas of my life.
That's so honorable. That's why you're on the radio.
Well, that's why every time, actually, it was funny, right before I unmuted our mics, I just asked the universe, I'm like, you know what? Universe, speak through me. Use me as, you know, let me drop and release any of my own agendas that I have, because that's not why I do this. I don't, you know, I have an amazing career that I love as a recruiter and a professional speaker, and I do this more for fun because there are only so many people that I get to help in my day-to-day business. And my intention with this show is that every human being on the planet has an extraordinary life with access to doing something they love every day. And so this, for me, is just play and fun, and I just ask the universe to use me for the highest and best good of the guests and the listeners who are on the show.
That's so beautiful. What if everybody did that?
Well, that's my intention, Deborah, is every human being, one human being at a time, gets access to their greatness and finds happiness and fulfillment. Here's something you might appreciate, actually, is, and again, I diverge quickly because my brain always has ideas running around in it.
That's very air, by the way.
I know. Focus, squirrel. I get that shiny object squirrel syndrome thing. But there was a great TED Talk I heard this weekend. I'm wondering if you've heard about it, about synthesized happiness, and the gentleman who said that synthetic happiness is actually the exact same thing as real happiness. Have you heard about this? If you get a chance, I highly recommend it to our listeners. I'll see if I can pull it up somewhere on my iPhone. The guy's name was Dan something, and it was all about how, say you don't get the job you want. Let's say you go after this job, you go through 5 rounds of interviews, and you don't get that job you want. Well, what happens is, most of the time, some people might say, oh, that was awful, I was depressed, I didn't get that job I want. And other people might go out and say, you know what, I'm so happy I didn't get that job, it worked out for the best. And that would be what's called synthetic happiness, where you're being happy getting what you didn't have or what you didn't get. And what they learned, and this was a Harvard study, the gentleman who did this talk was a Harvard professor, is that synthetic happiness actually gets the same result as real happiness. And what makes that really interesting is, like, they gave the example of, I think it was the drummer from the Beatles before Ringo came on board. They shared a quote with him, is that, you know, how do you feel after being let go as the drummer for the Beatles? And it's 20 years later, and he's like, you know, not being in the Beatles was the best thing that ever happened to me. And of course, we in the audience are going, yeah, right, like, this guy's gonna say that he didn't want to be part of the Beatles, be that Ringo Starr. But really, they've done studies to show that synthetic happiness is equivalent to real happiness. Anyways, I'll have to send you that TED Talk afterwards. I diverge. But back.
Yeah, I'd love to hear that.
Oh, it blew my mind. I'm always learning, and I love to share these different great articles. So talk to our listeners a little bit about, then, what are some of the careers that might be appropriate if you're already strong in one of the elements? If you know just by listening to the conversation that, you know, you and I are having, that maybe you're leaning more towards a water or an earth or a fire? What sort of careers with people with certain elements, what would they be predisposed to?
I would say if you are strong in water, a highly emotional person, you would be a great healer. You'd be great with children. You'd be a great chef. You'd be great at taking care of someone who needs help, you know, any kind of a caretaker with elders or with children.
Okay.
You would be somebody who could actually do, it's surprising, water people can do like accounting. They like to have structure because if you think about water, it spills everywhere unless there's a container. Mm. So they like to have the structure and be given boundaries and parameters of what they're doing, not be sent free to go be an initiator. It's more like, give me a task and show me how I can help you. That really serves them as compared to being an entrepreneur. And that would be the opposite with air. Air people are like, I really want to, it's not so much air as an entrepreneur. Air is more like, I want to communicate. I want to talk. I want to be the networker, what you're doing. I want to be on the radio. I want to be the one that helps other people with the contacts. I want to have a network. I want to be on social media. I want to use school and education, be in a school setting where I can teach, where I can talk for a living, something to do with writing, something to do with numbers and math. It has to be fascinating and a scientific, you know, fascinating exploration that requires an intellect. That's what air people, personality types are, and they love to talk. An earth person is much more the accountant business person who likes to keep the details in focus and be the structure or the project manager or the CEO or someone that can take care of all the management of detail and execution and giving people directions of how to follow the rules and do the laws and do make sure everything, the T's are crossed and the I's are dotted and somebody's really following through and that there's some date and a timeline and there's a schedule. And the air person's like, oh my God, don't squish me. I just want to be spontaneous. And the water person's like, can we just not have everybody look at me when we're doing that? Because the earth person can stand up and say, look, here's what the structure says. Here's the reader. So any kind of career, all the way from like a librarian following the rules to a working at a station where a train or a bus station where they have, and they actually love simple jobs, earth people. They want repetitive, consistent, structural, where there's a beginning, middle, and end, they can leave work. Mm. Otherwise, they are workaholics. If they have an entrepreneurial tendency, those earth people never know when to stop. And fire people are really good at being the inspiration. They're athletes, and they're energetic, and they can move a lot and do a lot, and they're pushy, and they're bossy, and they should be the boss. they have a really strong need to be seen, to be publicly acknowledged, to have applause. You know, they really need attention, fire people. They want to be seen, acknowledged, and to somehow be in the public's eye, or at least in the role. They love titles. Like, don't underestimate the value for the fire person to be given money and rewards so they can feel like they're being, otherwise they can't just work. Like, an earth person just loves the pleasure of the security. The fire person wants the attention. The air person wants the people stimulating them, some kind of fascinating. And the water person just wants to have a real sense of fulfillment that they've helped and served and given to you.
Interesting.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I can see that with different people I've recruited or clients or even people within my own company. And it's very helpful, I think, to understand what key motivators people have.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Once you get someone on their path, it's just remarkable how much more easy it is for them.
And so when people do your class, what types of people would normally do your class? Is it people who are in the healing profession already? Is it people who are curious about learning more about themselves and helping figure out what path they're meant to be on? What would you recommend to our listeners about that?
So first of all, you've got like 2 days left. It's so funny because the class, if you write to apprenticeship at DeborahSilvermanAstrology.com, and it's Deborah, D-E-B-R-A, apprenticeship at DeborahSilvermanAstrology.com, you will be able to get the information. Or you can go to my website and go under Learn. But the class is a 6-week program. It's all online. It's just an hour and a half with 10 people in the room and one mentor who studied your chart. And it's like, I tell them, I teach like a 6th grade level, like you're going to learn very basic information. But by the time you're done, there's this feeling like, a freedom, like you've learned enough to be dangerous, but you've got a real strong sense of who you are. It's all about understanding the first class is all about what's your life lesson? Like, what did you come in this life to learn? And what is the nature of your fixations? Where do you get distracted? Where's your observer leave town? because you get your buttons pushed. So it really helps you simply identify. And then the second class, which is another six-week program, about a month later, now you're learning how to do readings to make it a profession. By the end of the second class, you can do readings and you can actually make money if you're a counselor or coach. Like for you, to have to know your clients' abilities, it just puts you way above where everyone else is because you've got a language. And they can't believe it. They're like, how did you know? It's like you suddenly become magic.
I like
so
that.
The first class is 6 weeks long. It starts in the third week of February, so we're right about to start. We've got a few spots left. Then the second set is in March, the end of March, I think it is, or April. And then the third one's in person, and you come study with me personally, and you get to do readings in front of me, and I teach you how.
Oh, wow. That sounds fascinating. Now, so in case our listeners aren't familiar with where you're at, where are you based out of or where would the classes be taught?
I have two locations that we teach in. One is in Hawaii, in Kauai, and one is in Boulder, Colorado.
Awesome. Great. Count me in for Hawaii. I'm there. No snow for this person.
Yeah. Oh, my God. People love teaching. I love teaching them on Kauai. It's such a different setting. It's as much like if you just take the class, if let's say you don't want to be an astrologer when you grow up, but you really want to be able to help people, like you want a direct ability to help people, this is how you do it.
Yeah, and for me personally, it's been an interesting journey because I've never had any formalized training in this particular technique of air, earth, water, and fire, but there was a profiling that I had learned years ago about emerald, ruby, sapphire, and pearl, and just understanding human beings and who's motivated by what. And so I find it's like anything, you want to get a mastery in human understanding, and that's what I'm going towards achieving. I mean, with the amount of money and time I've invested in numerous transformative learning classes over the last 10 years, I could have probably had 3 masters, and yet I'm getting something, an education that they don't offer a master's in. It's about understanding how are we designed as human beings, and how can we make sure that we leave one another with human dignity and the greatest capacity for happiness in our lives. And that should be the master's class that people are teaching, and it's great because it sounds like that's exactly what you're offering.
Yes, that's exactly right. It's such a fun exercise for me to see a human come in, especially women who are older, where they feel like, you know, the kids have got the empty nest syndrome, or they're in their 30s and they can't figure out what they should be doing when they grow up, which is probably your audience. Like, how do I figure out what to be? And then suddenly it becomes so clear, like, I know exactly what my taste buds are. Like, it reminds you again of what you loved when you were young.
That's awesome. Yeah, it's again, I feel like so often we just kind of walk around sleepwalking in our lives and somebody tells us, oh, maybe you should do this, and we fall into the wrong job or the wrong relationship and we feel stuck until sometimes people are even in their 40s, 50s, and 60s. I have clients and friends of mine who are in their 60s currently and wanting to reinvent themselves because they never did the work on the forefront to figure out what were they passionate about, what did make them happy. And it's better to find out now. I mean, it doesn't matter if you're 18, 13, 59. It's irrelevant. The point is, every moment is now. Now is the opportunity that you have to start to design your life rather than just live it reactionarily.
Right. You get to choose. That's the whole point of the exercise. How do we choose? How do we choose rather than life just push us around?
Yeah, I think that's brilliant. Did you ever do Landmark by chance? Because I love that they focus on that whole choice thing.
I did not.
Oh, great. It's a whole point. It's most of the best teachers I've ever come across, and yourself included, focus on choice. And when we get that everything in life is a choice and that nothing ever happens to us, but that we always have a choice in how we respond to things, I think that's the greatest power that we can have as human beings is accountability.
Yeah, that's the art of this lifetime, is you either get pushed around by life or you start to take free will into your own hands. And that is the sign of evolution. That's essentially what every job, everything you do, every relationship you're in, every relationship with your kid or your dog, it's the choice that you make of how you're going to respond. That is essentially the determining factor, whether you're going to be in love, have fun, or you're going to be a victim and complain.
Yeah, and that's the differentiator. And it's funny, next week, actually, on the show, we're having Dan Negroni, who is a speaker I just happened to hear. I had a cancellation, which never happens, and he happens to be free next week. And we're talking about millennials in the workplace. And what's interesting is he said the greatest thing we can do is, in today's life, we've told this generation that's coming up, you can be what you want, you can do what you want, you can achieve anything. And yet we haven't empowered them to understand how to be accountable in a way that they can actually have those results appear for them. And so it ties perfectly into what you're talking about. I think that there are so many pieces to this puzzle. It's like you have this big puzzle called life. And if you understand that, you know, Deborah's program is a piece of that puzzle, and someone else you might go out and speak to at a coffee shop could be another piece. It's just all about learning and putting the pieces together and understanding you're choosing to put the puzzle together, and how you choose to put it together is up to you.
Oh, yeah, isn't that crazy? When you realize how much power there is in trust, in you giving yourself, like if you could trust yourself to choose, and if you can't, that's when you call an astrologer, that's when you call a coach, or that's if you really say, God, I love it when they say this to me, I made so many bad mistakes, I keep having the wrong choices, I'm like, beep, then stop.
Yeah, then choose differently.
then have some instruction, because if you don't, you know, some of us didn't have parents.
That's
like,
true.
No, proper parents, I should say. Dysfunctional parents didn't teach you the freedom of being able to choose.
Yeah, and I think you're right. I think that makes a big difference, is just understanding it's never too late to start making different choices. And, you know, that's where I think most people think it's too late, or they've made too many mistakes. And, you know, there's always options. There's always new opportunities to have yourself unfold. And you could be a new human being right now, and then a totally new person right now. And it's just moment by moment. You know, there was another talk on gratitude, a TED talk that I heard lately, and he talks about focusing on the moment that we're in rather than the past or the future. But all we have right now is to exist in this moment and to do the best that we can with it. And that best might look different every day of the week and every hour of the day, for that matter.
It looks different every half an hour.
Yeah, I know, exactly. Every minute, every half an hour. So, Deborah, you've been giving our listeners so many great tips. I do want to remind our listeners about where they can find you, where they can get information. So your book, again, is The Missing Element, Inspiring Compassion for the Human Condition. And where can our listeners find that at?
You can go to Amazon, and it was in all the bookstores. You can order it. But I think the short answer, and the other thing, you can go to my website, and I will sign a copy for you and send you your chart.
Oh,
that's
my gosh.
Another option.
That's a great deal. And so your website, again, is www. Go ahead.
Deborah Silverman Astrology.
Awesome. And that's Debra, no H, Silverman Astrology.com.
Right. Deborah Silverman Astrology. And then you can click on the book. There's a beautiful, thank you, Sting. He did a little video. He endorsed the book. And there's a short video on my website with him endorsing it. And then you just write to my website, and we send it to you with a chart in it. Yeah, we ask for your birth date, and then we send you a chart.
Oh my gosh, what a great thing to do, because A, you're getting a signed book, and then you're getting started with the chart. And so, to remind our listeners again, if anybody does want to enroll in the upcoming 6-week program, you said it's apprentice or apprenticeship at Deborah.
Apprenticeship. Apprenticeship at DeborahSilvermanAstrology.com. So yeah, that's where the school, if you're interested, and the cool thing is there's a money back guarantee. I love saying that. If it doesn't resonate with you, you'll find it. But I wish I could give it away for free to everyone, because it would make such a difference in parenting and being able to choose your career and being able to choose your partner, like realizing, oh my God, we're not compatible.
Right.
What do you do? What do you do when you're not compatible? You're with this person and you keep trying to change them.
Yep. And it's better to find out now. And I think some people, like you said, are just incompatible to jobs, to significant others. And it's better just to be empowered and to have, you know, options of understanding how you are designed and how others are designed.
Exactly. That's the coolest part of the game. Yeah.
That's awesome.
And there's lots of stories in the book, too. I use a lot of humans, like really juicy stories. So that it's just so funny, because today I was just, as you know, I'm in L.A. I'm hardly ever here, but I was just here with some clients, and there's a story in there of a man that I helped get out of prison, and I just saw him today. It was such a treat.
Well, can you tell our listeners before we wrap up? Do you have time for that? I would love to hear that story.
Yeah, it's an air. Yeah, sure. It's the air story. It's the, so there's the four elements, and every chapter has a story that tells an example of someone that really mastered that element. So this is a story of a man, a black man from L.A., who spent 27 years in prison. For the last, I think, 10 years of him being in jail, I was a pen pal, just randomly, and I began to go to San Quentin and see him, and then I just realized this guy was all wrong. So some of my wealthy clients put some money together. together, and we went and got the best lawyer there was in California. We went and got him out of prison after a long effort. When the day that he got out, and I filmed it, there's a documentary that I did, it was on the day that Obama received his nomination, the wow. same day 45 years earlier, Martin Luther King said, "I have a dream." That was the day that Kenny got off the bus with shackles on his ankle and his wrist, and he's now so happy, and it's the story of error, because there's no reason he should have gotten out, and there was no reason he should have been in. So it was one of those really bizarre, and our friendship is what did it. I just never gave up on him, and I kept writing him these letters. It was a little embarrassing, saying, "Don't give up, Kenny," and those little rainbow cards that you get at the New Age store with the unicorns on it and all the pretty cards. I kept saying, "Oh," and now he's home, and it's now 9 years. We were just figuring it out today, and he is in love, and he's got this beautiful life, and it was all because of our friendship.
Oh, that's extraordinary, and the difference you made in one human being's life. And that's the great thing, is like with your work, you have the ability to be a contribution to human beings in a way that they might not even realize themselves. And I think that's great about what your book offers and your classes, I'm sure, as well, is that you're giving human beings access to helping and contributing to others, both now and in the future, with these tools that you're offering.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, this has been such a delight, Deborah. I'm so happy that we were able to have you on the show. I'm intending that all of our listeners run out and join your program and buy your books. Because
I love that, Jennifer.
I just think it's amazing to be able to have you here and to have you share your wisdom with our listeners. And for any of our listeners who missed the show live, you can always find it on iTunes and subscribe or download it for free under Get Yourself the Job on iTunes. And you can also find it on the LA Talk Radio website in the archive of the website. And again, we do look forward next week to having Dan Negroni join us. And I did look it up on my iPhone because I did want to tell our listeners the name of that TED Talk. The TED Talk for our listeners on synthetic happiness was by Dan Gilbert, and it's called The Surprising Science of Happiness. If anybody has time later, it's an awesome 20-minute TED Talk that is worth your time. So thank you so much, Deborah. You've been definitely worth my time and our listeners, and we're so grateful to have had you on the show.
All right,
guys.
Thank you, Jennifer.
Have a wonderful rest of your week, Los Angeles. Enjoy the sunshine while we have it, and sending everybody a little happiness around the world.
Okay, bye.
Take care.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.